cliffcentral.com.
Ah, there we go. Cliffcentral.com. It is a Monday morning. It is the 15th of June. Tomorrow is a public holiday. So if you've woken up this morning and you're feeling full of the joys of spring, you only really have to work today. And then tomorrow is a holiday. And then we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and it's the weekend again. So not too bad, even though lockdown has kind of blurred the lines between the week and the weekend for many of us. All right. It's just after 7 Monday morning. Stretch and yawn and try to keep warm today. It's apparently going to be pretty chilly.
So, not as cold as Friday was.
Really? Feels colder.
I'm tasting it now. I'm outside.
Oh, you're outside. Sure. Okay, let's
cross. I can give you the nipple index.
Let's cross to Leanne Moll, who is currently topless in her garden. Go ahead, Leanne. Where's Griselda Zelda when you need her? We're crossing now to Griselda Zelda in the garden in Melville. Go ahead.
I'm standing here live, Gareth.
Yes, Griselda.
In the garden in by Melville.
Mm-hmm. And how is it?
And I don't see. I'm looking to see if there are any joggers.
Yes.
But no, it is clear here because it's very cold. So people must still be inside having their coffee and rusks.
Yes, and Griselda, are there many cars? Are people driving around the neighborhood?
You know, Gareth, I can hear the cars on the highway, but I can't hear them here in the suburb.
And just personally, your experience of the cold, you've spent many news winters in Russia and all over the place. We know that you're an experienced and intrepid reporter. So how can you best define this morning's cold by the index which you would usually use?
Well, I like to use something called the nipple index. It is a bit controversial.
All right.
But I would put it on a 6 out of 10. Not too bad.
Remember, 10 out of 10 can break glass. You can actually, if you smash a nipple against glass at a 10 out of 10, you would break the glass. And a 1 is very soft and supple. So if you say
it's
6.
It is not too bad this morning.
All right. Well, thank you very much. There we are. Ladies and gentlemen, Griselda Zelda reporting live. Griselda, do your outro.
Griselda Zelda. Yeah. SABC. In my house. In Melville. In Johannesburg. South Africa. The world.
Thank you very much.
Wow, that's what we needed to know this morning.
She's still got it. She's one of our greatest reporters.
Even though towards the end she nearly lost it, but you know, she kept it together.
I'm trying to keep it together because people can hear me, you know.
It's going to be so embarrassing. So embarrassing when people knock on your door. Are you Griselda Zelda?
It has. You're touching on something that's so true. It has been a bit of a concern of mine, bar actually, you know, complaining about me hearing my neighbors. The fact that I'm stuck largely in my house, I'm starting to think, what if my neighbors are listening into my conversations and they're just hearing the nonsense?
I had to tell my cottage tenant that I'm not losing my mind every Monday and Friday between 6 and 8, speaking to myself.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, listen, we haven't even spoken about this, and I told you I'd tell you on Monday, but we're starting a new TV show tomorrow.
Right.
I saw that.
We are going to be broadcasting the show on a Wednesday evening on ENCA, which is very exciting. And it'll be, I think, at 8:30, right, Sia?
8:30 on Wednesday evening.
Right. Yeah. So that's happening this Wednesday, the premiere episode, and it's going to be an hour, and it's going to feature some really brilliant people. I'm going to try to put panels together of some of the most intelligent and brilliant people I can find, both locally and internationally. We'll talk about the events of the week. We'll get into some discussions around the issues that affect you. You know, it's kind of a... So what now is the name of it, and it's really like, where do we take the world from here, and what are the smart people thinking about right now? How can you best prepare yourself, your family, your children, your friends, those you care about, for the world that is inevitably going to change in the wake of what's going on?
Ooh, psychologists must be having a field day, just monitoring how life is changing everyone.
If you think about kids and how different education is going to be and how kids are going to play differently now to the way that they might have played before, you know, physical contact's going to be an issue, face shields and, I mean, face masks, that whole thing is just going to, it's really going to have an effect on people, and particularly young people, because suddenly normal social interaction, in inverted commas, normal, is going to be upended. And it won't be normal for people to have contact in terms of sport, or to shake each other's hands, or to, you know, to play. And I think that's going to be a very bad and very devastating thing, especially for kids who are still developing a sense of their place in the world and how they interact with each other. So it's not going to be easy. It's going to be very different. And the whole idea of the show isn't just to talk about like a post-corona world, because that would be boring. It's really to explore all the stories that are going on that make life so interesting. And has 2020 been a roller coaster or what?
That's an understatement.
I mean, everybody's saying, right, can we rather pass on this free trial for 2020 and rather just buy 2021?
Yes.
Nobody's favorite year. Nobody's.
Yeah, can we put it in a bowl of rice?
Yeah, let it dry out.
I dare even the biggest and most optimistic person to say this has been a fantastic year. I mean, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad,
Robert Kiyosaki.
His business has gone bankrupt.
Jesus.
In the year 2020.
Well, he's like so many other charlatans who's trying to sell their story. I'm not surprised.
But he was, you know, telling us about how to live life and our best life, and isn't life great, and this is what we should do. Yeah. Even he has life not working for him.
Listen, motivational speakers, you just, not enough bad things could happen to them, in my opinion.
No, but you know what, in all seriousness, I hope that's better, sorry. In all seriousness, I love how this thing has shaken up things and shaken up the world. I know it's done irreparable damage to the economy and to some people's lives, and it's caused deaths, but I do like how it's shaken up how we think about things, how we work, our day-to-day lives, and what really matters and what doesn't, what services are essential and what's not. And just putting, you know, throwing out the old hierarchy and bringing in a new.
No, that's something to be pleased about. And all those people who are desperate for change, any kind of change, the world is just not working out. I hope everything changes. I hope you're all happy.
Yeah.
You got your big wish. Now let's see what happens. Let's see if it really is better. Because, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And for a lot of people, that includes their job, their livelihood, maybe the way that they've lived for the last 10 years, 5 years, whatever it might be. It's not always welcome. And be careful what you wish for, because when it happens, it might not be what you really hoped it would. So for some, it's better than for others. But really, I don't think anyone is sitting in the world, as CS said, and going, this is awesome. I love 2020. No one. So we're going to talk a little bit about the new TEDx, which is happening at Red Hill School in a short while. I'm very interested in this one because there are lots of TEDx events. I've spoken at a few of them before. The exciting thing about this one is it's going to be completely online. Obviously, again, as a result of the changes to our lives that have been wrought by COVID. So we'll speak to the two organizers, Adam Golding and Wangari Mbutia, who are teacher and matric pupil from Red Hill School. They've put together the first ever completely online TEDx event at Red
Hill
School.
Will it be live?
Yes, it will. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you the details of that when we speak to them just now.
But on events, it's interesting how some people are. Yeah, it is the time of innovation. We spoke to the guys in Cape Town a few weeks ago who are planning the drive-in experience. And I saw a couple of events starting to pop up in the US, and particularly, I'm sure by now you might have heard of Dave Chappelle's recent Netflix recording.
Amazing.
And his special. And how they had a physical event, but it was all mapped out where, you know, two people can sit there and then there'll be social distancing, another two there. And I think that's how we will, that's the closest we'll get to what we used to have.
Oh, please, it's outrageous. It's just ridiculous. I'm not going back until that's back to normal. I don't want to be a part of some stupid social experiment.
You know what? As soon as we get used to all of this and we figure everything out and it's all running pretty smoothly, there'll be a vaccine and everything will go back to normal.
I hope so for all the vulnerable people. But for the rest of us, we must just carry on with our lives. If I could, someone asked me, what would you do if you were in charge of the world when COVID broke out? I'd say, well, we do what we do with flu. You carry on living. But
because you,
some people think that's heresy. You know, if you say that, you don't care about anyone and you're okay with death. And like, I'm personally okay with my death.
Mm-hmm.
And something's going to get you. If it isn't COVID, it might be something else. Something's going to get, no one lives forever. This childish notion
death.
That you can prevent.
Yeah, it's going to get you.
Yeah. Death is going to get you. Death is going to get you. Death Woo! Is going to get you.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
That's an exciting thought for a
minute. You're dead. Yay!
Anyway, but all you hear everywhere, because I mean, really, the media is so facile, and you only hear people saying, "You hear people saying,
you can take Viagra for that."
For fat.
For being facile.
All you hear in the media is people going, "Oh, the COVID's the worst thing. It's a pandemic. It's so dangerous, and oh my God, it's going to get every." Meanwhile, the death rate's ridiculously low, lower than any of the experts had predicted. And even in countries like America, by proportion to population, they've done really well. I mean, Ireland has done worse than America in percentage terms. If you take their whole population and the total death rate, and you do a calculation, you'll see that they've actually handled it pretty well. So I don't understand these people who are like, oh my God, but there are 100,000 deaths here or 20,000 deaths there. Or here in this country, what are we, 1,500 or something? And people are jumping on that, like, suddenly, what, people didn't die before COVID? What do you think happened on Earth for humans for millions of years before COVID came along?
You clearly need to print the death that's going to get you posters.
Right. Just grow up. What are you, 5? No one's going to die. My fantasy will become true.
So I just want to give you a term you probably haven't heard since you got a new big-time show as well. There's a new normal. Which you probably haven't even heard.
New normal is such a great term. When people use new normal, I just get the chills up my spine. Bulero, say it again. It's so beautiful.
Well, in the new normal, what you want to do is you want to control the narrative.
Oh, even worse. Now you've put in two terms I really hate.
Oh, geez, if I don't hear those for the next 10 years, I'll be all right.
Come on, aim for pivot. Aim for pivot.
So, Leanne, you don't find new normal irritating? Bulelo and I hate that term.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I don't find it irritating.
New normal. Stop it now.
What irks you about it?
It's such a catchphrase. And it's a catchphrase used by a lot of dummies. Like really dumb fucking people who I've bumped into over the last couple of months. Well, you know, it's going to be a new normal.
Do you know how hard I have to remember now to not say that?
Yeah.
I apologize in advance.
It's not your fault. No, it's not you. And it's not like there are people who I know who are not dummies who have used the term because they need to describe it somehow, right?
It's a defense mechanism because it's almost like if I say it, I don't have to deal with it because change is horrible for the human condition. Yeah. So if I've said new normal, the fact that things aren't okay is fine. Mm-hmm. Like it's you're managing your anxiety.
You know what it is though? It's just the new normal.
I love that narrative.
Psychologists will tell you the first step is acknowledgement, right? So what saying the new normal is you're acknowledging that things have changed. But it does absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you're not doing any work. And people, you're not doing the hard work.
Yeah, and people try to use terms like the new normal or controlling the narrative, which Mulelo just used now. When they say those things, you know they have no intention of doing the heavy lifting. They just want to sound like they've thought about it and that they really are on top of things.
Their work.
Exactly.
That's why, because it's more about those kind of people than it is about the term.
Yeah, because they'll use terms like, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page in this room. And then we know where it's going.
But that's how it's all around us. It's not just a few people. That's how people talk in office places and
that's why we hate corporate environments. That's why we hate them.
So, Leanne, let me be very honest. Anybody who speaks in diatribes, I stop taking you seriously. Like, as soon as I hear new normal, I hope we're all on the same page.
You just used another one without even realizing it. Let me be honest.
Yeah, there we go.
That's why you just zone out whenever I speak Mbulelo. Okay.
Oh, damn it.
Shed some light. Thank you.
It's always struck me as interesting. And we did a feature on this on the show not so long ago. I think it was with Coronation, about how people go, let me be honest with you. And you think to yourself, well, if you're being honest with me now, what was the rest of what you were saying bullshit?
Yeah.
Well, I'm priming you. Yeah. I'm priming your mind for something you may not want. Yeah, it's more for me than you.
I got you.
Yeah, I watched Dr. Phil explain some of these things. And, you know, he inspired the series Bull because that's how he started his career, being involved in courts and being able to read people when they're honest and not. And that's a point that he also brings up. He says when people use terms like that, when they like to bring in a deity of sorts. So if they start to say like, God knows this is the truth, it's like, no, that should be a bit of a red flag.
The devil made me do it.
But you know,
Honestly, rest in peace.
Anyone who claims God is on their side, you know, I'm always a little bit suspicious because really, unless he comes down on a chariot from the clouds and says, that's my football team, I don't buy it. And when people thank God when they've scored a goal, you're like, well, what, does God hate the other guy on the other team who didn't save the goal?
I've always wondered that exact thing.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with that goalkeeper? Does God hate him? Is he working for Satan?
Why is God biased now? When did that start?
So what's the politically correct way to bring in God or to thank God?
You don't if you're smart. Don't. Because you have no idea of what God's mind has in store for you.
Thank God for the possibility of
being favored at this time.
Yes.
I don't know. But the Nazis used to wear belts that said,
I was just about to say,
Gott mit uns. You know, they used to have Gott mit uns written on their belts, the SA and SS, which means God is with us. Clearly, he must have been not the God that the rest of us are thinking of. Because of what you guys did, but we'll leave that for another day. All right, so I'm very excited. We're doing this TV show, and listen, I'm going to need some ideas from you around what you would like us to cover. I've had some great suggestions already on social media, but if you have ideas of guests that you'd really like, particularly if they've been guests that you've enjoyed on cliffcentral.com, people who you'd like to hear more of, who you think are underrepresented, I don't want this to be like every other show. I'm not doing fluffy celebrity interviews. We're going to talk to thought leaders. That's also a term I'm starting to dislike because everyone uses it. But I want to talk to smart people, people who have great ideas, people who can equip themselves admirably in facing up to discussion, debate, who have truly revolutionary thoughts, and perhaps some very bizarre ones too, people who believe in things that are completely unheard of in the mainstream media. I do want this show to be a place where we can feel free to discuss things in an adult way without worrying about who we're offending. Because my goodness, is this a sensitive time. Everything offends somebody somewhere. And it's just impossible to have adult conversations because everyone's stuck in their infant stage right now and tantruming about things that they don't like.
Leave Adele alone. I'm just saying, you know, everyone's so sensitive at the moment. Even Adele's upsetting people. Like, God.
Yeah, I mean, Adele's...
Her being happy and healthy. Yeah. What a heathen.
Yeah. Well, how dare she not be fat?
Yeah. No. How dare you choose life? How dare you want to inspire people to live longer? You're sick, Adele. And you've given us some of the best music in the last 20 years.
Hey, listen.
You're leaving all of us fat people behind, Adele. Oh,
yeah. Leanne is one of those at the front of the march for Adele to get fat again.
Fatten her up.
Yeah. Make Adele great. I mean, fat again.
What's that march look like? They carrying sacks of potato and gravy.
Yeah, they carry big roast chickens. And they try to tempt Adele. They walk past her house with hot food.
With a tower, a tower of meat pies.
Oh, man.
Make Adele fat again. Make Adele fat again.
You know it's going to happen with those face masks. Like, never mind, not we'll my Adele.
Fat like you. You need nothing more than big chicken pies or three or two. Come and raid my fridge, Adele. I invite you.
Yes. That's a cause I'll be behind.
Hey, listen, I need to get to some news this morning. So the one person who we should all be very afraid of in the world right now, can you guess who that is?
Oh.
There's too many to guess from.
There are a few, sure. It's a challenging race. But
Figile Mbalula.
No. Okay. Please, no one's ever been afraid of him.
I took a guess. It didn't work out. So right.
Could it be Kim Jong-un's sister?
Spot on, Leanne. Good work. That is a scary bitch. Tell us about her. What do we know about her?
She doesn't look anything like her brother. I think he's eating all the food.
Oh.
He's on Adele's side.
Yeah, definitely. But she's got a stare that would just send icicles down your spine. But she has stepped up, hey, in a powerful sister kind of way. And it's quite recently that she's been promoted to she's the first vice department director of the ruling Workers' Party Central Committee. Mm-hmm. And she has basically threatened South Korea with war.
Now, we don't know whether Kim Jong-un is in good health or not. I mean, certainly he already looked like a jelly baby before we had rumors that he wasn't doing well.
Yeah, then he kind of disappeared completely.
And yeah, there were rumors that he died even. And this woman has now stepped up. She's his sister. You've never seen a more morose, angry-looking, humorless human being in your life. And there are a lot to choose from at the moment.
Yeah,
this woman is quite terrifying. Now, I don't want to do what a lot of people are going to do and say, oh, well, you know, different set of standards because she's a woman, because that would be sexist. But really and truly, there's something about her with her face like a smacked ass that makes me especially unhappy. And nervous.
It matters. It matters that she's a woman, because it also gives us a little bit of insight, because we have so little, into how North Korea works in terms of its standards and treatment of women.
Yeah.
And respect for women.
Uh-huh.
And in a way, I feel it's like kind of cool that she's respected in this way, in her country. So maybe it means that women are treated very differently to somewhere like, I don't know, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, damn. I don't want to mess with her. I just Googled her. This is a hard 32 years old, man. She's lived a tough life.
Her Western comparison for me is a mix between Thatcher and Ilse Koch.
Ilse Koch was a scary woman, too.
She was the bitch of Buchenwald.
We haven't said her name, but it's Kim Yo Jong.
Kim Yo Jong. Scary woman.
And what did she say? Her words, in an earlier statement, she said, the North will scrap the military government, which is hardly of any value. Calling North Korean defectors who send leaflets from the South human scum and mongrel dogs.
And this is her on a good day, by the way. She ate breakfast that morning.
Yeah, because basically people in South Korea have been sending these like those things that, you know, those things that you light with messages in them, mm-hmm. and they float across through the sky.
Yes.
They've been sending balloons or whatever those things are called with leaflets. And she's so angry by that.
She's so angry. She is a bit like, you said what, Thatcher and Koch. Jeez.
Yeah, that's mine.
So Ilse Koch wasn't she the wife of some concentration camp?
Yeah, she's known as the bitch of Buchenwald. I mean, obviously. Sure. It was one of the concentration camps, and she would skin prisoners and make lamps out of their skins. And yeah, she'd have, oh, she was, go and look this woman up. She was, she's one of the most evil people that have ever lived.
Yeah, she was tried by the U.S. military, and she was eventually sentenced to death, right?
Oh, she was something else.
Oof. Ilse Koch.
Ilse Koch.
Horrible.
Oh.
I don't know how poor Margaret Thatcher gets compared with her. She didn't kill anybody.
She's a little, but you know what I mean. Margie had that streak, like you don't want to cross her. Ask the workers of Wolverhampton.
That's all right. I have no problem with a strong woman. I have a problem with a basically inherently evil human being. But
well, the problem is the sister looks charismatic as well. Remember, Thatcher had serious charisma.
She was extraordinarily good at getting people united and working hard for a greater Britain. She was
Gareth, let's remember what the definition of charisma is in Bulelo's books.
Oh yeah, no, he's in love with Angela Merkel, so
yeah, he still thinks a pantsuit is sexy, so
isn't it?
Just
hey, shout out two piece brown and green. Shout out Angela.
Brown, by the way, I was talking about this. This may sound stupid, since we've been talking about international politics and, you know, TV shows and all the rest of it. But brown, can we just address brown for a second as a color? And we've made fun of brown cars on the show a number of times. But how much brown clothing do you have? Because brown really...
The 70s stuffed it up for us. The 70s took brown and mixed it with orange and mixed it with khaki and lime green. And pink, brown and pink's my best. Ugh. But the 70s did that to brown. It's not brown's fault.
Brown is, it's not a great color, let's be fair. I mean, you get different kinds of brown. You get like tan, which is okay sometimes. You get, you know, sort of a nice rich brown, like a chocolate. That's nice. But you also get turd brown. And you know what I mean.
Who wants to paint their house in turd brown?
Like, I have one brown t-shirt, and it's because of what's written on it that I have it. Do you know what I mean? It's not a great color. It's like, if you're going to be wearing brown the whole time, it does tend to feel a little spiritually lacking. It feels like you're in the no man's land of fashion when you're wearing brown. You're between North and South Korea. you're in that real derelict, colorless place where only the color of turd exists. Do you know what I mean?
The gooch of fashion.
Correct.
No, don't even use that term, Bulelo.
Yes, that's good. All right, so everybody who has a lot of brown in their cupboards, it's time for you to own up. I want to turn our attention quickly to something that I think is really exciting, and I'm involved in this tangentially because cliffcentral.com is a media partner for it. But Adam Golding, who is a teacher at Red Hill School, putting together along with the matric pupils, some of them anyway, a TEDx conference. It's an event, and it's the first ever completely online TEDx event, which is really exciting. So, Adam, it's nice to see you. How are you?
Great to be here. Thanks so much, Gareth. I'm great. How are you guys?
Awesome, awesome. Well done on the event. And I know it's happening on the 20th of June, which is actually the summer solstice. I mean, winter solstice. It's the coldest, supposedly. That's the day that the sun is the furthest from us. But it does mean that we're going to have time to pay attention to some really interesting people. And I see, I'm pleased that Wangari has just joined us now. Wangari Mbutia is also one of the matric pupils at Red Hill School. So welcome to both of you. Congrats on putting it together. Tell me about this virtual arena that you can join in from the comfort of your home to be a part of. You want to go, Wangari?
Right.
You just need to unmute your microphone there. It's in the bottom left corner. This is going to be ahead of a TEDx. This is going to be ahead of a TEDx event if you can't remember to unmute your microphone. Nice to see you. Go ahead, Wangari.
Okay, so of course, given our whole world situation, we decided to move our event to become entirely virtual. So how it works is you register through our website, and then you can you'll get a link to YouTube where you can watch our our stream, which will be broadcast live. There'll be a common stream, trying to make it as interactive as possible. Hopefully engage a lot of people.
So Adam, when you and the Matrix at Red Hill put this together as an idea, was it very easy to think about who you wanted to hear from? I mean, are there people who everybody is waiting to hear speak? And how did you, in your minds, put together the idea of doing it differently and doing it virtually?
Well, the idea actually came entirely from Wangari. It's her project. She applied for the license as part of her IB matric, and then she approached me to work with her on it.
Amazing.
We put out a call for applicants. We were looking for maximum 12 speakers, and we got close on 60 applications from just incredible speakers with incredible CVs from such a wide variety of backgrounds. So it was really difficult to go through that and put a panel together. I think that almost everybody on that list of applicants are people that we'd like to have speaking in the future. And this will be part of a bigger project of educational seminars for adults that will be taking place through Red Hill.
So Wangari, how did it feel to be able to tell people who'd applied, oh, sorry, we just don't have space for you, and then telling others that, no, we definitely want you?
No, it was definitely a difficult decision. Like going through the list when I was sending out the various responses, it was definitely difficult.
And is there a general rule with TEDx? Like you have to comply with certain conditions, right, for it to be a recognized TEDx event, and you've got the license, but you still have to tick some boxes. What are those?
So in terms of their regulations, you have to keep the essence of a TED event. So having speakers speak on a broad variety of topics, having speakers who are sharing new ideas. There's also you can't be selling things on stage, or there's certain content guidelines. But with the change to a virtual event, it certainly gave us a lot more freedom, as we're able to host more than 100 people as our audience, which is awesome. Usually the restriction. Mm-hmm. So that was really great.
It sounds amazing. And some of these speakers are really cool. I mean, we've got our own Anthea Gardner here, who is the founder and managing partner of a South African-based asset management business, Cartesian Capital, which is obviously in a hugely male-dominated industry. You've got Mdun Tuli, who is involved in genocide studies and education at the South African Holocaust and Genocide Foundation. So some really interesting insights there. Shanta Blumem, who is the founding director of Mobility for Africa, which is a social enterprise, aims to bring the electric mobility revolution to rural parts of South Africa and Africa. And then you've got Lungi Mtunu, who is an intrepid sailor, explorer, climate change activist, and the first African female to set sail to the Arctic. Some amazing stuff there. Mbulelo, you must be jealous of that. That sounds like the kind of person you'd like to get married to, actually.
Are they single? Oh. Let's not take that off the table.
That wasn't part of the application form. We're not sure.
All right. So,
and Mbulelo, it's a platform of learning, not of dating.
So, guys, tell us quickly how we can register and how we can be a part of this, and whether there's any cap, and how you can participate meaningfully.
So the website is www.tedxredhillschool.com. Mm-hmm. You can book tickets there. It's completely free, but you do need to book. We're also collecting donations. We're going to be using whatever we collect to supply PPE to schools that can't afford it at this point. And we do have no limits on the mainstream, but with some of our speakers, we have a live Q&A, and those are very limited to 10 to 15 people per session.
Excellent. So go along to tedxredhillschool.com. That's TEDXRED hillschool.com, and you can go and register today. And they're obviously also on social media, so you can find out more by going to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Red Hill School SA, and you'll find all the info there. So Wangari, well done to you. I mean, this is really your brainchild. I hope it's a tremendous success, and I look forward to being part of your event too. And cliffcentral.com will bring you some of these speakers in podcasts as well, which is very exciting.
Definitely.
All right. Good luck to everybody. Well done.
Hearing you speaking.
Thank you, Wangari and Adam. Very, very nice to see you guys. And I look forward to that event. That's happening this Saturday. And a very good guest lineup on the menu there as well. Excellent. All right. Lots to get excited about this this upcoming weekend. And it's going to be a short week, as we discussed. Tomorrow is a public holiday, so we will not be doing this show tomorrow morning. But we'll be back Wednesday morning, Thursday and Friday, obviously, too. And the new TV show launching on Wednesday evening. Very exciting. A lot of comments coming in this morning about Jacinda Ardern, who's apparently Mbulela's new crush. He reckons she's like the Khaleesi. Some people saying, well, Jacinda Ardern is going to solve all humanity's problems while holding her baby. Because that's what she does. She uses her baby as a prop whenever she's out on the street doing stuff. She's like, I'm just a regular mum. And she holds her kid. I've got to say, I have two very good friends who moved to New Zealand. And both of them were straight off the school. They're both guys. They went over there with high hopes and aspirations. They said, the women of New Zealand are atrocious looking, and apparently so are the men. So really, Jacinda Ardern is a beauty queen by New Zealand standards.
May we just unpack your earlier statement? She said the Prime Minister is all teeth.
Yes. Look for
this. Follows, Google of her. Course.
Google Jacinda Ardern's teeth, and you'll see what I mean.
This, of course, follows your amazing statements calling Minister Angie Motshekga unfortunate looking.
Well, I think she's harassed. But I want to be clear, I'm just as rude about male politicians, and I will always be.
Yes, you are.
I'm rude.
You're an equal offender.
I mean, nobody will ever. No one will ever forget, Leanne, the way I piled into Gordon Brown every day for months.
Yes.
And that
yes,
links us again to Brown. You know, Gordon Brown is the embodiment of Brown. And where is he now? He's disappeared into the mud like a boring politician always should. No one's heard from Gordon Brown. No one asks him for his opinion. I could probably invite him on my show. He'd probably he'd clear his whole schedule to be on my show. So maybe we should do that, Sia.
Reach out to Gordon Brown.
Yeah, he's got nothing else to do. And I'm sure his wife can't wait for him to do something other than bother her around the house. Gordon Brown. The color brown, it's exactly what his surname indicates. He's a perfect representation of his horrible surname. All right, some messages that are coming in. Elon Musk must get his worldwide internet up and bombard North Korea with Western propaganda. That's what Carl says. Quite right, Carl.
May I share an unpopular opinion?
Yes.
Elon Musk scares me, man.
Tell me why.
Ooh.
I'm with you, Sia.
I can't put my exact finger on it, but as a person, look, I can't fault him on his business acumen and how great he is. As a person, there's just this slight tick that he has. It's like this tiny...
He's like unpredictable.
Yes. This tiny crazy streak.
Like you might be stuck in a lift with him and the lift gets stuck and it's just the two of you. And he might turn to you and go, "What?"
Yes. Mark my words. And I'm not bitter. I'm not jealous. But I watched an interview over the weekend of him and Jay Leno. I think it's clearly a couple of months ago, because they were just, you know, Jay Leno now is he's a big car fan. And so they were doing a segment on the new pickup truck Tesla thingamabobby. You can tell I'm very well versed in that. but his manner and his demeanor, you know, it wasn't a press conference. It wasn't an interview where he's sitting in a chair very seriously. This was meant to be a very relaxed environment. He was driving Jay around, they were walking, and it made me go, there's something off with this guy. the closest.
Of course, there's the closest with him. He's a lunatic. That's why he's so successful.
There was a point in the interview where he was proving how strong the pickup truck is, where he jumped onto the van and started jumping on it physically. And that split second made me remember Tom Cruise jumping on Oprah's couch.
All right, no, I understand. I know.
See, you sound like a dad who's meeting their daughter's new boyfriend. I'm like, there's something off about him.
What? Yeah. Here's my prediction. He will end up shipping like 50 of what he deems the greatest humans from Earth. He ships them off to another planet, and that's it. We're done for. The rest of us who stay here are done for. Because why? He has that crazy tick. I've said it. Mark my words.
No, he's a nutcase, but that's okay. Mm. Someone says here, I think it's a good point. This is Dr. Robin. She says, Elon has a bit of a slightly scary Oscar Pistorius thing going on.
Ooh.
Hey, listen, Pretoria is it's a crucible for some pretty screwed up people.
And he's a Pretoria guy.
He is. Some great suggestions coming through from people about guests for my show. This is an interesting one. This comes from Justice. Justice says, get Joshua Mponga. That's a good idea. Somebody else saying, Mbulelo is the only guest you'll ever need. He's been to all the places and done all the things.
I haven't been to Antarctica.
Oh, well, Morgan just checking in there and spelt your name. Morgan spelt your name Mbulelo.
Mbulelo.
That's great. This is a good one from Bihleng, who's a regular contributor to the show. Bihleng saying this morning, please slow down on politics. I can't take another one of those. If the topic on your show is about poverty, please bring actual poor people onto the panel. I'm tired of glass house people telling me about poverty. Yes.
That's good. Yeah.
Good point. I'm not bringing some academic economist on to tell us what the poor think. Good point. Someone saying, please get that loser from that debate with Reedy Tlabi. They called her Reedy Direko, but Reedy Tlabi, that Jamil guy, get him on. Yeah, sure. You really think he's going to come on my show?
Water under the bridge.
By the way, speaking of water under the bridge, can someone please go over to Chester Missing, whatever. What's the actual guy's name?
Conrad
Koch. Someone go over to his house and give him some chicken soup and tell him it's going to be okay.
Can we address this? Somebody sent me a message.
Go for it.
Said, I see your boss and Conrad Koch are at it. So who is Conrad Koch? Let's start there. Okay, well, I don't know who that
is. First of all, I'm not at it because I haven't engaged with this guy for like 3 years.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what he's doing. I know he's got his puppet.
Chester Missing.
I know he has a puppet.
Like ventriloquist.
Yeah, he's a ventriloquist. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And he addresses political issues and...
Well... He's supposed to be a comedian, and he doesn't like the fact that I've got a TV show now. So,
which is so bizarre. Firstly,
just really doesn't like
it. It makes no sense to me, at least, where all of this comes from. You know, it is something that really ticks me off. If I had engaged with, of all people, Damon Calvari yesterday, as Damon being someone who's worked with you, Gareth, for 10 years and I for 6 years, we were trying to figure out where in this timeline could it have been where something was said about Conrad or Chester. Yeah, about.
I don't know what it is. I don't remember any occasion where I've spent more than kind of 10 minutes thinking about him. He has been in for interviews and we've had really interesting conversations. I mean, I've treated the guy with respect whenever I've seen him.
You interviewed him on the 28th of October, 2019.
I think it might've been 2018, but either way, it doesn't matter because you can go and listen to the interview that we did with him. It's a perfectly pleasant interaction.
Yeah.
I certainly don't get the impression that there's hate seeping out of every pore in this guy's body. And then all of a sudden he's really pissed off that I'm doing some TV show. And I don't know. I mean,
Maybe you ripped off his comedy or something.
I don't think I did, hey. I mean, we talk about loads of things, so it's possible. But I really don't think I have an axe to grind with this dude. And if he has an axe to grind with me, it's his own crusade. I'm really not involved. It's got nothing to do with me.
You know where it got weird for me? There are two things I take unbelievably seriously in life. Mm. One is football. The other is the term racist. Like, that's such a weird place to go as a virtue signal. Like, because that is anything more, derogatory to someone's character than that? Because for me, the worst thing you can call me is racist.
Yeah, but it's also unfalsifiable, you see, because... Sure. If you and this is the problem. If you're going to accuse someone of something, you have to be able to prove it. And if you charge someone with being sexist or a racist or an Islamophobe or whatever, and you can't actually prove it, the allegation. You see how seriously I'm taking it.
Conrad brings out
so strong through my headphones. It actually reverberated. I'm sorry.
So I'm taking it so seriously, guys. I'm really this is taking up a lot of time this morning. All right. Here's the thing. You call someone those things. It is essentially unfalsifiable. So I can't give you solid proof that I'm not. Therefore, the allegation itself has no real weight. If I say, Sia's a horrible person.
It can't be scientifically proven.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that.
Or disproven.
So it's just it's a weak and pretty much, it's a poor man's place to argue about something because it's ad hominem as well. So you're not really addressing any particular issue. Like I wish when I feel generous and charitable, I wish he would just tell me what his problem was so we could talk it over. But I'm not actually that interested. We've got to move on.
All the best points just for this. I don't like stooping low to a level, and I feel like just always take the high ground and be the bigger man. But he has just now pissed me off because it just makes no sense at all. Point number one of my 2 points. He had an ENCA show himself. If that does not scream bitter, then I don't know what does. He's now on a high horse saying, oh my gosh, well, how dare ETV give a show? You had a show. It was cancelled. Go and talk to your low ratings about it. Point number two, and I'm done from this. Why then do you still have your people still email me asking to be on the show?
Sure.
To promote your shows. Anyway.
Oh, does he still email you? Wow.
Yes. Anyway, I'm done. I'm quiet now.
You missed
you go, girl.
I didn't want to stoop to this level, but you made me take off my earrings. Now, listen, yeah, if I then say the hood rule number two, which is putting Vaseline on my face.
All right. Well, here's some more suggestions of people that we can get on the show. A guy called Yanis Varoufakis.
I know him.
Who is Yanis Varoufakis? I want him on just so I can say his name. And I will say it. Yanis Varoufakis. That's how I'm going to say it on the show.
So, or if you say his surname first and then his name, Varoufakis Yanis.
By the way, I'm so mature this morning. Can you tell?
Yeah, you really are holding it together.
Yeah.
So tell us about it.
Adultery.
Who is he, Umabula Lilio?
He's the former finance minister of Greece. Remember under, what's it?
No, I don't remember. They
had the revolution recently and they won.
Alexis Tsipras.
Yeah, exactly. He was the finance minister in that, and he was the voice of the sort of European Union's arm of the finance side. But he is also a lefty like me, and he wrote a book called Adults in the Room, and I emceed the event when he came to South Africa. So he's
Yanis Varoufakis.
A thought leader, if you will, but an extremely interesting man.
That's brilliant.
Extremely interesting.
All right. Yeah. Wow. Very nice. Imabula Lelio, you have great language skills. Don't use virtue signaling. It's as bad as pivot and. Mm. Love you all, Carol in Dubai.
With you, Carol. Got you noted.
Okay, here's a suggestion. Jenny says, get Pravin Gordhan. I got to say, I'm not in a huge hurry to get politicians on.
Please don't.
Because I did mention smart people, first of all, so that excludes 90% of politicians from the guest list. But if I do have politicians on, I want to talk to those politicians, and they are rare. There are rare people in politics, like, you know, Tito Mboweni, who don't really care about popularity. They're not that interested in whether they are – they're not going to jump into rhetoric and try to win people over. I want to hear from those people, people who actually have thoughts in their head. And most politicians do not. They really aren't very bright. And I don't want dumb people there spouting rhetoric. We're going to take apart bad ideas.
Good stuff.
I hope
you go, girl.
You go, girl. That's our theme for the morning. That and the color brown. Oh, man. Hey, I watched one of my favorite movies over the weekend.
Was it Citizen Kane?
No.
Oh, that makes no sense.
I'm not trying to be, what is the word that I want to use for you? I'm not supercilious like you, Mbula.
Here we go.
I watched a brilliant movie called Starship Troopers.
That is a good movie.
It's a fantastic, I cannot tell you how much I love that movie. So it's
funny.
It's just like you kill aliens and there's shower scenes where the girls got their tits out. And it's
oh, wow.
Like, it's like just such a good movie. It's such a, you could never make that movie today. Who did the, is it Paul Verhoeven? I think it was.
I forget who it is, but anyway, that movie's
it's
so
just,
funny.
It's great. Like everybody has these big guns and they shoot the shit out of these aliens. And it's just great. It's a real... It's a good action comedy. It's like all the things that Rocky and Rambo and all of that shit does, put together with aliens, put together with explosions and, you know, spaceships, and it's just a real guy movie.
Yeah, it's a boy thing, I think.
I loved Starship Troopers, and it has not aged badly, actually. Some of the special effects could do with a bit of work, but... You know, it's a good. It was 1997. Seven. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good movie.
Sorry. And it had Denise Richards.
That's
prime.
That's,
Denise.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
That's important.
Very important.
I only watched it once, and it was in 1997.
I've watched it a few times since then. It's a good movie.
This is not my.
It won't be your kind of movie. But it's
not your genre.
But it's really cool. I just loved it, and I thought I'd share that with you this morning because I watched a movie, which hasn't happened for a long time.
Well, that sounds like your new normal.
Oh, shit.
Mbulel, how about you pivot from this point?
Pivot from that to some virtue signaling, why don't you?
Very good.
Oh, boy. So, okay, I've spoken about this already, but it is the winter solstice. So on Saturday night, it's the longest night of the year.
Mm.
So if you're going to have a party, make it Saturday night.
Another long night to be alone.
Oh, wow.
Shame's
in the cold.
A long, cold night.
Very,
alone.
Very long, cold night.
The funny thing is, like, at this time of year, your instinct, your animal instinct really kicks in, and it just becomes very important for you to be warm. And you spend a lot of your day trying to find ways to be warm.
Well, finally, lockdown matches the weather because we want to hibernate.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know how much you love motivational speakers, you were saying just now, so I want to sound like one.
Okay.
This is your chance to start the journey to a new summer body. Start now.
Mulelo, if I had to start to a summer body, to this summer, to the next coming summer, I would have had to have started 10 years ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
She's very realistic, Leanne. You can't fault her. She's like, her summer body's too far.
And I'm not being self-deprecating. I'm just being honest.
Well, no, you're being constructive.
I looked at a photo of myself from this time last year, and I'm embarrassed. So I'm going to get to work. But the hard thing is, obviously, you know, you can only do so many push-ups and pull-ups and calisthenic stuff. You need some weights occasionally, and I don't have any of those lying around. I've got two kettlebells I dusted off that were stuck behind a sofa somewhere. And I'm using those, but it's really boring, man. And gyms are going to be a long way off. And when we do go back to them, they tell me it's going to be all kinds of hell to wipe everything down and wear a mask, and it just sounds like shit. So I'm not going back to the gym in a hurry. I'll have to find a way to make myself motivated to do something.
I have an exercise bike in my lounge because it's the only place that it would fit.
Yes.
And I think I've used it twice in 7 years.
Wow.
It was actually, was given to me. No, but here's why. It wasn't because of laziness. It was given to me by a friend. It's one of those which has a digital screen, but the screen's like, if you think of the first Nokia that ever came out, so it's nothing fancy.
Yes.
And that screen doesn't work, and there are just plugs hanging out of it. So there's some resistance on it, but you can't really adjust it. It's basically fucked. And I don't know what to do with it. Do I just put it on the street? Someone take it?
Sia, we got to get Ben on ASAP because Ben went back
Thanks
play.
For helping me with that conundrum, guys.
No,
but I really appreciate it.
No, what made me think about it, Leanne, is that Ben has been getting himself into the best shape of his life during lockdown.
So really?
He's been in the opposite situation to you and to me, frankly. And Ben is like... He says he's never felt better. He's doing amazing exercises. He can do like handstands against a wall and all kinds of shit. So we've got to get him on, and maybe he'll motivate some of us to get better. Mm. I just thought
that's awesome
because I don't know how to come and rewire your bike. So what the hell am I going to offer advice in that respect?
Yeah, sorry, Leah.
Come
just
on.
Just kidding, guys.
You're not going to use it. If I come and rewire your bike and it all looks great and we put a new screen on it and it's like you can watch a movie while you're on, you're still not going to get on it. Come on.
No, not. You're very right.
So, Bulelo, take your motivation and shove it up your ass.
Leave us to hibernate.
All right, everybody. Have a happy day. It is 8 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. We have lots of good stuff for you on the lineup. And then don't forget, tomorrow no show, no live show, but we are doing our TV show Wednesday evening. So very exciting. We'll be back Wednesday morning and then Wednesday night, the debut of our new show on ENCA. That's channel channel 403, right, Sia?
Yes, DSTV channel 403. So what now? You can actually start hashtagging as well. Hashtag so what now?
Yes, and please keep those suggestions coming in. I'm deadly serious. I will take your advice on who to have as guests. Just make sure they're not politicians. And any subject matter that you think deserves discussion, you know?
And people, any people like Yanis Varoufakis.
Yes. Going. Yes. You know who the Greek pedophile is, by the way?
Yes, I do.
What's his name? Go on.
Nick Fuckity Kiddies.
That's correct. And you know who the Greek necrophile is?
No.
Nick Fuckakakis.
Oh, my.
All right, we're going to have to stop there. It's
on that politically correct.
It's getting great this morning. We this is where we cut the feed. All right. Thank you for joining us for the show. CliffCentral.com.